Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Welcome back to the commentary series and our study of the Way of Perfection by the great Carmelite mystic Saint Teresa of Avila. I'm Father Reed from Charlotte, North Carolina, and it's a pleasure to be with you once again. Today is day 18, and today we're looking at chapters 38 and 39 of this masterpiece by Saint Teresa. Last time, with chapter 36, Saint Teresa began her discussion on the petition from the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Now, in this chapter, Teresa taught us that because the Eucharist strengthens us to do God's will, it thus enables us to be forgiving of others. She speaks of how our willingness to forgive must be rooted in an understanding of how God has forgiven us. Moreover, Teresa teaches us in that chapter that our willingness to suffer injury, to easily and readily forgive others, along with the readiness to reveal our own faults and to be forgetful of self, are hallmarks of those who have been raised to contemplation. And then in chapter 37, Saint Teresa speaks of the perfection of the Our Father and how it can be prayed by anyone in any circumstance, reminding us, though, that the yielding up of our wills and forgiving others are things that apply to us all. Teresa ends chapter 37 with the admonition that we have enemies that would like to deceive us and keep us from God. And this is why we need the last petition of the Our Father. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so now, in chapter 38, we are ready to take up this last petition. Now here, Saint Teresa is really more concerned not with beginners, but with those who have advanced in their life of prayer. The issue here is that those who have been raised to contemplation through the prayer of quiet and the prayer of union generally do not ask God to deliver them from trials and temptations. Teresa says, these souls wish for and demand such troubles and love them instead of hating them. She says at the bottom of page 231, they are like soldiers. The more the fight, the better they like it, for thus they hope for a richer booty. Our saint notes that contemplatives really don't fear the open enemies of their soul because they know the devils have little power against the strength God gives them and that ultimately they profit from the victories God's grace wins for them. Yet they do fear the devils who transform themselves into angels of light. That is, they disguise their temptations as something good. She says, these devils suck our very lifeblood and destroy our virtues, whilst we unwittingly are surrounded by temptations. So in the second paragraph, Saint Teresa begins to discuss how demons can harm us. Now, first of all, we're not really harmed by their persuading us that the counterfeit consolations they give us come from God. For when these are received, some souls will praise God and wish to serve Him more fervently. And thus, in paragraph 3, Teresa counsels her nuns to be always humble, thinking themselves unworthy of God's gift and thereby not seeking them out. For our humility in this acts as a protection from evil and it disposes us to receive God's favors. As Teresa says, I am convinced that in this way the evil one loses many a soul which he thought to have ruined. And our Lord draws good out of the harm the fiend meant to work us. Yet the way the evil one can injure us is by making us believe that we have virtues which we do not possess. The issue here, as Teresa explains in paragraph 4, is that this delusion makes us think that we render God some gift and service which He is called upon to repay. By degrees, this damages us greatly. For while on the one hand it weakens our humility, on the other we neglect to acquire the virtue we believe that we already own. And she explains to us on page 235 that the remedy is to pray and beseech the Eternal Father not to suffer us to fall into temptation, which is the whole purpose of this last petition of the Our Father. So we must not lose attention and pray these words thoughtlessly whenever we pray the Our Father, but rather we must pray this last petition with fervor and humility. Furthermore, St. Teresa tells us in paragraph 6 that there is yet another temptation. She writes, "When God gives us some virtue, we must understand that it is only a loan, and that He may take it away again, as indeed often happens, not without a wise providence." So, our virtues are something that we have received from God, and He can take them away. While we must pray and strive to practice the virtues if we wish to obtain them, they're given to us by God's grace, and He can take them away as He wishes. Our saint even gives us some examples from her own life, speaking about how one day she believes herself to be detached, and that another time she finds herself so attached to things that she doesn't recognize herself, or how at one time she feels courageous, and then the next day she doesn't have the courage to kill an ant. And then how sometimes she doesn't care if people talk or complain about her, and how on other occasions she's disturbed by a single word. Thus, Teresa writes, "If this be the case, who can say that he possesses any virtue, or that he is rich, when at the time he most needs these goods, he finds himself destitute of them? No, sisters, let us think we are poor, and not run into debts which we have no money to pay." Now, her point here is to underscore the necessity of humility, to recognize our inherent poverty as sinful humans and our reliance upon God's grace for everything. She writes, "The truth is that if we serve God with a lowly heart, He will succor us at length in our needs. But if we are not really humble, He will let us slip at every step." Remember, our humility, which is a recognition of truth about ourselves and about God, makes us irresistible to God. God will not deny the soul who approaches Him with authentic humility. So this is why in paragraph 8, Teresa counsels us that we should be a little skeptical of our own virtue, lest we be duped by the devil and become too pleased with ourselves. It's why Teresa tells us that we should praise God when our virtue is tried, because this means that God is beginning to teach us patience. She continues, "Force yourselves to be meek, for He thus gives you a sign that He wishes to be repaid for His gift." That is, He wants us to be worthy of the virtue He has given us. Paragraphs 9, 10, and 11 continue this conversation of the inconstancy of virtue with the topic of poverty of spirit. St. Teresa explains how easy it is to be duped by the evil one into believing that we possess it, and the little excuses we make to ourselves as to why we aren't living out this virtue as strictly as we should. So this is why Teresa states in paragraph 10 that our virtue must be verified by looking at our actions narrowly. For that's when we'll detect the devil's deceptions. And she gives the example of a rich man who loses part of his estate and yet is disturbed and worried even though he still has plenty. The point here is that we must constantly examine ourselves as to how well we're living out those virtues we think we possess. As regards poverty of spirit, we have to look at our actions to see if our thoughts are truly fixed on higher things and whether we attend to temporal cares as secondary matters. We have to try and recognize our imperfections, even those that are not sinful, in order to get a true assessment of our level of virtue. For if we think we have a virtue that we don't truly possess, we will grow careless. In paragraph 12, our saint turns to the virtue of humility with the same theme of examining our actions carefully. And she makes the point that when God gives us a solid virtue, that virtue brings along other virtues in its train. She finishes this chapter with the following admonition. I quote, "I warn you again, always to fear deception, even when you believe that you possess such virtue. A truly humble soul mistrusts its own good qualities. It believes in them more readily and values them more highly when it finds them in another." End quote. And so, we must be wary of ever being deceived by the devil as concerns our virtue. Again, it is a good thing to be skeptical of our own virtue and to humbly entrust ourselves to God's care. Now, let's move on to chapter 39, which continues this same subject of the temptations faced by contemplatives. In paragraph 1, she speaks of yet another snare of the evil one, a false humility that causes us to be overly anxious about the gravity of our past sins. The devil will work against us in this way to induce us to stop receiving Holy Communion, making us think that we are unworthy. So this is really a ploy of the devil to distract us and rob us of the graces we should be obtaining in prayer. He can even make us think that God has forsaken us and almost doubt our Lord's mercy. And I've certainly seen this before while doing spiritual direction and hearing confessions. While it is a good thing to be skeptical of our own virtue, yet it can be a most dangerous temptation to dwell so anxiously on our past sins and to question God's mercy. That's not humility, that's discouragement. In explaining the difference between authentic humility and this type of discouragement caused by the devil, Teresa says on page 241, "However deep humility may be, it neither disquiets, wearies, nor disturbs the soul, but is peaceful, sweet, and serene. Although the sight of our wickedness grieves us, and proves to us that we deserve to be in hell, and that in justice all mankind should hate us, so that we hardly dare to beg for mercy, yet if it is a right humility, this pain is accompanied by suavity, contentment, and joy. And we do not wish to be without it. Indeed, it ought to be prized, since it results in self-knowledge." Now, this is good information, for it can help us to see more clearly if our humility is genuine, or if we're being sorely tempted by the devil. True humility, Teresa says, dilates, that is, enlarges or widens the soul, rather than troubling or depressing it. True humility renders the soul more capable of serving God rather than rendering it ill at ease or in pain. So Teresa tells us in paragraph 3 that if you are ever in this state, turn your thoughts as far as possible from your own misery and meditate on the mercy of God, His love for us, and all that He suffered for our sake. If this depression is a temptation, you will be unable to do even this, or to calm your mind and fix it on any other subject except that which wearies you still more. Wow. Our saint is a master psychologist and spiritual director. Teresa understands well the ploys of the devil because she has suffered them herself, and through her long experience as a contemplative, she has learned well how to combat the evil one. Another temptation of which Teresa warns us is doing indiscreet or excessive penances. So, for example, we may want to take on difficult corporal penances like wearing a cilius for long hours each day or fasting excessively in order to make ourselves believe we have greater sorrow for our sins. The remedy here is to be transparent about our mortifications with our confessor or spiritual leader, and to be obedient to what they command. To conceal these mortifications or to be annoyed when forbidden to practice them is a temptation we must strive to avoid. In paragraph 5, Teresa gives us a further temptation, which is the feeling of confidence that we shall never relapse into our former faults or care for worldly pleasures again. She says, "This temptation is the most dangerous of all, especially at the beginning of the religious life. For such souls, feeling that they are safe, do not guard themselves against occasions of sin." Teresa continues, "Whatever consolations and signs of love our Lord may give you, avoid all occasions of evil and never feel safe against a relapse. Be sure to mention these favors and graces to someone who is able to counsel you. Hide nothing from him." So in other words, we must be humble enough to recognize how easily we can fall, even after making great strides in virtue. And we must be transparent with whomever is leading us in the spiritual life, whether that be a spiritual director, a pastor, or a confessor. She tells us, if God's favors are authentic, they produce humility and leave us with greater self-knowledge. As she moves into paragraph 7 on page 243, St. Teresa prays to the Father for help against those enemies who would lead us into these temptations. She's not worried about the open enemies, for she knows with God's aid we can defend ourselves. Her concern is with these subtle snares she's been discussing, and she knows we must constantly beg God for his help. In paragraph 8, St. Teresa makes the point that people are more scandalized by the falls of those striving for perfection than the crimes and errors of 100,000 souls on the road to hell. Well, certainly, the devil wants to take down those who are making progress on the way of perfection. So this is why our prayer is so important, for living a life of prayer is the safest path. As Teresa says, you will be freed more quickly from temptation if you are near our Lord than if you were far off. And so, my friends, let us recommit ourselves to daily prayer. Let us strive for the virtues of humility, detachment, and charity that are both conducive to a life of prayer and that are given to us through our life of prayer. Lastly, may our prayer draw us ever closer to God so that we may be safely guarded against the subtle wiles of the devil. So that brings us to the end of day 18. In our study of the way of perfection, I'm so glad you're listening, and I very much hope you're enjoying these podcasts and that they're helping you with your prayer life. Thank you for joining me on your journey to grow deeper in your spiritual life. Next time, we'll pick up at chapter 40. To finish, let's pray the famous prayer of St. Teresa. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. May God bless you, and may Saint Teresa intercede for you.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support the commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Way of Perfection and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.